forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's September 28th, 2011, and this is episode number 20. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. Today's episode features an interview with physicist Sarah Demers, who teaches at Yale University. With last week's news that scientists at CERN in Switzerland had documented subatomic particles known as neutrinos breaking the cosmic speed limit, going faster than the speed of light, physics grabbed the headlines. This doesn't happen every day, and it seemed like a good time to profile someone who's made a career out of understanding the universe. I am talking this evening with Sarah Demers, who is an assistant professor at Yale in the physics department. Sarah, thank you for making time to talk to me.
No, I'm happy to.
So I think we need to probably start with the physics that is in the news, although, as you know, what I'd love to really talk to you a bit more about is your whole career path and how you got into what you're doing. But first, tell me, is this the most exciting week ever in the life of a physicist, or have there been other weeks like this?
I would say we've had quite a few weeks like this, even in the recent past. Mm-hmm. This is a result that's come out, and you're talking about the measurement by the OPERA experiment that clocks neutrinos traveling faster than the speed of light, which, according to Einstein, was supposed to be the speed limit, that we weren't supposed to have anything traveling that fast. So it's a result that has come out that, if it's true, will really fundamentally shake the foundations in physics. And that's what we're all working toward all of the time in this field, is finding something that's fundamentally wrong with our current way of thinking or making progress toward better descriptions of reality. In this case, as in all cases, when a result comes out, there's a tremendous amount of scrutiny from the field. This experiment is a really challenging one. And so I think even members of the OPERA collaboration itself are really throwing this out there to the scientific community and looking for some cross-checks. So I think the real excitement would come in if we have an independent cross-check that verifies the result. And while a lot of us are very hopeful that that will happen, I think a lot of us expect that it probably won't.
So one thing I was curious about was just where you personally lie on the spectrum of skeptics to believers. I saw that you have worked at CERN yourself, which is where this experiment came from. Is that right?
It is,
yeah. So were you, how did it strike you as you learned about this?
Well, I'm using a proton beam from CERN in a different way than the OPERA experiment is, and I think something that's striking about this result is that it relies on techniques that aren't necessarily standard in particle physics. So I wouldn't claim, even though I'm working in particle physics, that I'm an expert on their measurement techniques. I did hear their presentation, and from my perspective, I think they're really doing first-class science, and they really have done due diligence in terms of the results. The systematic uncertainties, the errors that they assume that come along with their measurements, I think they've done their very best to estimate those. But they suspect they might be missing a piece of this, and that's probably the most likely scenario, is that there's something unaccounted for in their measurement techniques at this point.
Interesting.
Hopefully I'm wrong.
And if, in fact, these results are replicated, what are the implications of this? Of course, you know, what the layperson reads and what I've now read in many articles is all about time travel, but
right.
What does it really boil down to?
Well, where to even start? First of all, it's not consistent with other measurements that we've had of neutrinos. We have other ways of testing the time of or the speed of neutrinos. And so in order for this result to be true, there has to be something different about these neutrinos from the other neutrinos that we've already measured as going certainly not faster than the speed of light. So it's really hard and kind of tortured at this point, I think, to develop a theory in physics that takes this result and manages to bring some consistency with everything else that we've already learned from experiment.
So I did want to dig in a little bit to your career path. We don't have much time. So one of the things I was curious about was just when in your life did you decide you were going to go into the field of physics and be an academic?
I have always been passionate about learning, and I was one of those people who really enjoyed school for the most part. I assumed that I was going to study constitutional law because I'm fascinated by the Constitution, and that was all the way through junior or senior year in high school when two things happened. An English professor mentioned an English professor who also happened to be my math teacher, I went to a very small school, suggested that I should think about being a research scientist. And I thought, boy, does that sound terrible and dull. That's interesting. And then I took a physics class that absolutely blew my mind, and I realized everything that I had thought about how the world worked was just wrong. So the combination of him planting that seed in my head and then realizing how challenging science was for me and how rich it was and how much I had to learn, I think that really launched me with it.
And what do you think that teacher noticed about you that made him suggest that path to you? What qualities did he see?
I don't know. I would love to ask him that question because it really came out of the blue for me. I don't even remember the context where the conversation happened.
Interesting. Do you come from a family of scientists or academics? Or
no, I come from a family of, for the most part, artists and musicians and ministers, though I have a grandfather who was an engineer. But no, I'm kind of an anomaly in my immediate family anyway.
So when you think about your work, what is it that, you know, what is it that you really love? I can only imagine how challenging the career path is and how much you have to do in a day and a night. So what is it that propels you to pursue this kind of career path? What do you love about it?
Boy, I'm at a point in my life where I am dying to have more time to work, which is a really fun place to be in terms of your relationship with work, I guess. Mm-hmm. I love that I teach and interact with students. That really keeps me fired up and always learning. The job of being an assistant professor at a place like Yale, where the tenure rate is, I think on the books, is still around 27% in the physical sciences, though a lot of steps have been taken by Yale to move that number up. It means that it's quite a challenge. There are many things to juggle over the course of a day and a week and a month. I'm writing grants, and I'm traveling to CERN. I'm meeting with students. I'm talking about policy and funding for science in this country and trying to find the Higgs boson and, part of a search for understanding more about the universe that has been going on for, I don't know, arguably thousands of years, certainly. It's just a very rich career right now.
And you kind of touched in mentioning on the tenure track on what, you know, are often discussed as some of the challenges of an academic path. Can you maybe just elaborate on those a little bit? The attractions, to me anyway, I can completely understand. What are the challenges? What are the difficulties of the path?
Boy, it's extremely competitive. I think getting a job in the first place is like winning the lottery a little bit. And once you're there, you are competing for big grants where the success rate is small. There's a tremendous amount of pressure to perform at a high level. Juggling the teaching piece of it with the research piece of it, managing and working with graduate students, postdocs. In some ways, you're running kind of a small business because you have to bring in the funding that will support the people who are working for you, and you're responsible to them for giving them some time and some guidance and overseeing their education at some level, though I think I learn a tremendous amount from the people who I work with. Time management is probably the biggest piece of this. There just aren't enough hours in the day to take care of everything that needs to be done.
Right. That makes sense. You know, one thing I always think about when I think about the research scientist is, you know, most of us spend our lives just trying to master some existing body of knowledge. And your work is so focused on adding, you know, completely new knowledge to humanity's store of understanding. And I just wondered, does that actually have an effect of almost sort of separating you from the rest of us? Does it ever feel somewhat isolating to be on that cutting edge?
I don't think so, because it's the part of life that I'm exploring is, it's small. I mean, I look at other people who are doing research and understanding the mechanisms of cancer and understand that I'm not involved in that discovery process. I think a lot of us are running around discovering. So I guess maybe I hang around too many other people who are doing research. But I don't feel separated from that. I feel very tied in. I think people look up at the stars and they think, what's going on? Every once in a while, we're just sort of stopped in wonder, right, by the world around us. And I'm just one of the lucky people who gets paid to think about that in more detail.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Sarah Demers. Thanks also to everyone who has contributed an essay to Work's Due. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in about 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdue.com, by posting a comment on the Work's Due website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.